To WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. The show is Good Morning Comrade. You can listen every Tuesday at WHIVFM.org/listen. Today we have a friend of mine and Kimberly's. She is a teacher in Jefferson Parish. She's also the author of the Mommy Says blog. Her name's Polly Thompson. We kind of talk about the coronavirus situation, how it's affected, you know, teachers and kids and parents and everybody. And we kind of go over a little bit of how we can survive in this situation, and it's a really great conversation. I'm gonna take it right over there right now. Joining us now on Good Morning Comrade is Polly Thompson. Polly is a teacher in Jefferson Parish Schools. She also has the blog Mommy Says. Hello, Polly.
Hey, Jeffrey.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Enjoying the nice weather outside.
Oh, you're outside.
Sitting in my office. Yes, this is my office.
You have an outside office?
Patio. Yes.
Oh, that's,
and no.
That sounds luxurious.
Hopefully when I take a call, I excuse myself to my office outside.
Mm-hmm.
So my children, who are working next to me, as it were right now, don't need to participate in my phone calls for work.
Well, tell them hi
so
for me.
I come out to the patio, and me and my cat enjoy a nice quiet conversation along with some birds.
a lot of ambiance, it sounds like.
Yeah, so we have a breeze, the occasional car horn in the background from Wisner.
Yeah, that's some atmosphere.
I hear my wind chimes, and there's some wind chimes. So.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, so you're a teacher too, just like me, and just like Kimberly, and
yeah.
Patrick was a teacher. We just know lots of teachers, and right now, all the teachers that we know in Jefferson Parish are, I mean, technically the term that they used by the school board was administrative leave. It's just for the entire parish because of this coronavirus pandemic that took place.
Yeah.
And how are things sort of going over there? What are you seeing? I know you have your kids at home now. No
I
kids
have two
are at
teenagers.
Two teens.
So
at with you
teenagers.
At all times. It's like summer, but not because you still have
right.
to kind of do
it's
work.
That's a weird thing. Our situation is my husband works from home regularly.
Mm-hmm.
He's sometimes out of the house for meetings or events, but his events are usually in the evenings or on the weekends. So during the week, he's home. For the most part, I also have my retired mother-in-law who lives with us, so she's home all the time regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So me and I and the children leave every morning, and we don't come home regularly
until the end of the day.
And they're at school. Yeah, so everybody's routines are messed up right now. So, when we decided that this was I was definitely going to stay home with them and try to do this whole homeschool thing as mm-hmm. it was directed to us. I wasn't really given a choice.
Yeah.
I had to talk with my husband, Patrick, and tell him, okay, so you need to find a place. You can't work wherever you want to in the house because we need a firm place where we can go every day that's going to be our place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because he kind of has squatting rights on the house office.
Right. But now you're you moving
know,
in on his territory.
He got to pick. Uh-huh. So he chose upstairs in our playroom, and we took the kitchen table, the island kitchen table where we usually eat dinner and stuff. So we came up with a whole routine that seems to be working so far. We're only 3 days in, but everybody seems to be happy. Of course, they want to go visit with their friends because they're 13 and 14. And, you know, I told them the best they can do is – you know, FaceTime,
right.
text, call, and what have you. So we got our schedule going, mm-hmm. and It seems to be okay. Mm-hmm. My 14-year-old girl, when we unrolled,
I was about to say, I'm sure it's an interesting experience sharing this time with teens.
Right. It is, because they're really trying to do their own thing.
Right.
I think when I made the schedule with them, I was thinking, you know, they can really kind of coast on this stuff. I'm not going to try and teach them advanced math. I'm not going to try and teach them things that they aren't really doing. I'm trying just to keep them on pace.
Right. It's like working out
every day. My goal was mainly just to make sure they got up every morning at a reasonable time. They ate breakfast. They did something academic.
Uh-huh.
You know, we ate lunch in the noonish hour and then did a little bit more work, did something creative.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
With
art
their
class.
Hands, made sure they got outside, because believe it or not, the weather's been amazing. So
yeah,
why not
beautiful.
Be outside? And then, you know, go to bed at a reasonable time,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, my summer, we'll eat dinner when it gets dark, and in the summertime it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
you know,
you
and so then bedtime becomes 10:30, and then they'll sleep till 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready for that yet. You know, when we left on Friday, the word was we'll be back on April 15th.
It's not looking like that's going to happen.
It's not looking like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
I saw.
The routine thing was the most important thing for me to focus on keeping going, rather than the academic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that routine going. Keep them getting up at a reasonable time, going to bed at a reasonable time, staying off their phones all day long. Doing something active, doing something creative, and doing something that resembles schoolwork.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, it's a little bit of structure in there to kind of make sure that they don't kind of go off the rails. Now,
exactly.
It's funny because, like, with all this stuff up in the air right now, you don't know how long this is going to go, and you don't know how sustainable this sort of situation is.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, there's sort of like some asks from, at least from my school, I don't know about from yours, but there's some asks of like keeping in touch with parents, and some people are asking to assign work and all these other things. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I kind of don't know how to integrate that. You know, I don't know how to work from home really.
Right. Teachers, this is totally foreign to us. We don't know how to work from home. We know how to grade papers. We know how to do our lesson plans from home. But as far as teaching from home goes, that's kind of the opposite of what we got into this business for.
Right.
Because our purpose as educators is to interact with, on a very personal level, children of all ages.
Right.
And so trying to interact with them without being able to see them and hear their thinking and mm-hmm. listen to their conversations is
fundamentally
really
different.
Right. It's a complete paradigm shift for us. And I've interacted with some of my coworkers, and they're wonderful people, and they're trying to do the best they can. And I just want to tell them, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
We need
to
figure out what this is going to look like.
I think a lot of that comes from a good place, I think, but it also comes from a place where teachers and a lot of other kinds of care workers do get taken advantage of, right? Because nobody gets in education, and this is sort of like a cliche, but nobody gets in education for the money or the prestige or any of that stuff.
Mm-mm.
Right? You get in the education because you care about children and because it's a fairly secure job for that, or at least historically it has been. And that kind
Absolutely.
Of a good, like, do-gooder sense, at least, you know, in the past couple of, you know, since this whole school reform started to happen, has been taken advantage of, I find. And there's this common feeling I've noticed amongst educator types that I'm not, because people, teachers and other school workers have been sort of pushed to do more and more and more over time. And now there's this pervasive sense that you don't know if what you're doing is right or if you're doing enough. There's this sort of like pervasive being watched kind of mentality that's kind of stepped into the schools. I don't know if it's always been there since before I was there, but I know that when I started teaching schools, I was surprised at how much sort of like over top monitoring there's been, and how much.
I've been teaching for 23 years, mm-hmm. and when I first started teaching, we were observed, and it wasn't. It was more like the little walkthrough observations that we get now. If you want to compare
it
to something,
all the time though.
No, it was twice a year. Mm-hmm. So like those little walkthrough observations, that would be your pretty much your formal observation. You'd get mm-hmm. a couple of them a year, more if your principal wanted to.
Right.
But they kind of had to let you know if they wanted to do more. Mm-hmm. And it was a one-page paper that they filled out, and you were either satisfactory or not.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything better than satisfactory.
No rubric? No, like, hard, super, like, intense
nope.
rubric?
Mm-mm. Nope. It was just, you're doing a good job or you're not doing a good
job.
This
is what you can do better, right? Exactly.
Right. There was always something you did well and always something you could improve on.
Glow and grow.
Right, exactly. And here's the thing. We can all do something a little bit better. It doesn't matter how minuscule it is, but none of us are perfect and we can always do something a little bit better. But it also, there's always something that we're doing that's right.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't appreciate those those observations for what they were. Because I'd give half my salary right now just to have those kinds of observations back.
Right.
Because they were actually kind of worthwhile. You got to have an honest conversation with your principal. And
yeah, the stakes were a lot lower. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was going to say the stakes were a lot lower than they currently are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For what it was worth, it was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
And now... the governor's trying to get parts of that, the ESSA mm-hmm. Act, suspended or postponed,
so,
whatever you will.
So, actually,
so those
here,
observations and stuff this year are absolutely uh-huh. not going to happen.
Yeah, here's something that came out yesterday from the governor's office. It's a letter, it's kind of like a press release, framed as a letter. I'm just going to go ahead mm-hmm. and read that, and we can sort of like comment on it as we go through if you'd like. Dear education community, the spread of the COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, has created a temporary new normal for our great state of Louisiana and the nation. Mm-hmm. The life that we were accustomed to has been completely changed, and the education of our students has been drastically altered in the near future. Moving down, So note that some of the suspensions in the proclamation that he's putting out will be effective only in the only if the U.S. Department of Education grants a waiver. So what needs to happen is that
look for a waiver. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bessie board, the state level school board, would have to file for that waiver, and mm-hmm. then it would have to be granted. So that's a big hurdle already, because who knows what they're going to do? They're run by a lot of these sort of like reform types. So-called
yeah,
reform.
But I think that the governor is asking for this, and mm-hmm. All the steps that have led up to this, I think that they mm-hmm. have no choice but to listen to him.
Yeah, at this point in emergency,
local school districts have all declared states of mm-hmm. emergency. So, he's really kind of forced their mm-hmm. hand, I think.
They would look like some real jerks if they didn't roll back teacher evaluation and testing.
What's that?
I said they would look like some real jerks if they didn't roll back teacher evaluation and testing right now. If you're concerned about that as opposed, because these are not. So I'm going to go through the specifics here. Testing mm-hmm. administration, the Louisiana state law, and Bessie cites all that stuff. Bulletin 741 will be suspended for the entirety of 2019-2020. That's what he's asking for. These provisions mandate
right.
annual administration of the LEAP testing, so he wants to roll that back for the year. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, I can't see how the LEAP testing could possibly happen at this point.
Right. I mean, I think they could have maybe pulled it off if we were going back on April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have done some sort of, if we were going back on April mm-hmm. 15th, but as it is, it's looking like we're not going back at all.
Right.
That's what it looks like
to me. Not
for
a long time.
Or at least for a while, mm-hmm. and there's no time. And some of my coworkers were talking Friday minutes after we heard the news and saying, you know, if we do come back April 15th, is the best use of our time testing.
Testing, right.
You know, we're going to be out of school for 3 weeks, not counting, you know, if you don't count the 3 days that we had for spring break, you know, so about 3.5 weeks. Is the best use of those last 5 weeks of school going to be testing?
Right. And that's even in the best case scenario.
Which is how much time they've allotted to it.
Yeah, and that's even in the best case scenario.
Exactly, exactly. In the best case scenario.
So the next two...
So here we are.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The next two are school and district accountability and teacher evaluation and credentialing. So the laws, the statutes that provide for public school accountability and assessment, because that's more on testing, I suppose, that school performance score type stuff, that's going to be rolled back, at least temporarily. It's going to be suspended. And then teacher evaluations and credentialing, so the provisions that relate to value-added data, which is already, I mean, we can talk about that later, maybe on a different issue, but it's, the value-added is essentially an evaluation magic box where you punch in a number and another comes out and nobody knows how it works, but it's supposedly associated with testing. And then so using that and teacher evaluation as a criteria for teaching credentials, so that's going to be suspended again if we get that federal waiver. So those are two things that are being rolled back temporarily. Student attendance, so in order to free kids to be promoted to the next grade, they have to go to school a certain number of days, and also for teacher work days, they want them to spend the number of teacher work days that teachers have to do, the minimum of that per year, and then no more charter applications and enrollment. I was just sort of thinking to myself, hold on one second. I was just sort of thinking to myself that this would be a really good program just in general for schools and not just like for right now.
Exactly. I think some of the stuff they're doing is a great idea.
And, yeah, for forever. We just keep it that way.
All the time. Yeah, that'd be nice. Now, the suspending of teacher work days, I think that is going to help us. And I think that's going to help our case because if we don't have a minimum number of work days, you know, our you know, the thing that we're all worried about is, are we going to get paid?
Yeah, are we going to get laid off?
Because many of us are single income or... for me, I carry all the health insurance for my family. And, you know, if I get fired, if we're furloughed or whatever, you know, that security is gone. And,
paycheck to paycheck. I mean, some people paycheck to paycheck already, and then you don't really have, because we don't get paid, most working people, not just teachers, obviously, but, and this is a common concern amongst, a lot of working people. Is that, that they are going to lose their job. They are going to be furloughed. And if that does happen, would we qualify for the expanded uninsurance benefits that have been kind of coming out from a bunch of different places, you know?
Exactly. You know, I think the governor is really doing the best he can. And I think he's doing a good job doing the best that he can to help teachers to face the issues that we're facing. I mean, obviously he can't predict anything, but I think as things are coming up, he's doing a good job of answering the questions and solving the problems that are immediately in front of him.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of critiques of John Bel Edwards in general, but I mean, this situation he's done, I think he's done fairly well. I mean, the fact that they've already released that first off, the fact that this letter came out yesterday, rolling back all the things that are, I mean, again, temporarily suspending, I guess is a better way to say it, because it's not a permanent rollback, but suspending the things that are already the most onerous on us, and the things that are the things that would allay, like this kind of a letter would allay a lot of our already existing fears, in addition to the relaxing the uninsurance collection sort of application process, and if you are looking for that information, you can go to laworks.net. If anybody's looking for that, they can hear my voice. They have a lot of specific information about who's included in the expansion of those unemployment insurance benefits. They include sort of things like, even if your hours are cut due to this, you know, coronavirus emergency, you have the opportunity essentially to to collect on insurance. So, for example, my brother, who's usually on the show, he works two jobs right now. Both of them are, well, I know at least one of them is closed, and the other one I think they were going to close. So he would be able to apply based on the income that he's gotten from those jobs to do it.
Okay.
So, you know, if I know Patrick might be losing some you know, business or whatever.
Yeah,
as
he's
a contractor
in the event industry.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about that or not on the radio, but or maybe we can get Patrick on sometime to talk about it. But essentially, he's losing money because of this emergency, and he's not alone in that. There's a lot of people who regularly do public events, and you can't really hold public events with a national, like CDC and state and federal and local government saying that you can't have gatherings of 10 or more people.
More than 10 people.
Yeah, so you can't really have large public events.
I think that's a show all by itself. Mm-hmm. But people are getting creative in how they're still answering the call for fundraising for nonprofits, which is what his main business is.
Uh-huh.
So that, I think that's a whole show.
Oh, it'd have to be online, I guess. So we'd have to go to online in a lot of ways.
Yes, yes.
Which is doable. I was almost sort of thinking in terms of, and you know, I'm just going to throw this out there as potentially an idea that people can do to kind of socialize. What if there was like an online karaoke night that people just called in on a Skype call or something and took turns and just like found like...
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I emailed all my parents today and, you know, checked in with them, and I've gotten a couple responses, not a lot. I know a lot of my parents are working parents, so that's a whole thing that they have to deal with too. And I told them that on Thursday morning I'm gonna check in with them on Zoom.
Oh, you have a Zoom account?
We're gonna get on Zoom and I'm going to check in with my parents, and hopefully the kids will get on there too if they're able. We can have our first little voice conference Thursday. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a plan for how that's going to go. I just kind of want to get in there and a little baptism by fire.
Yeah, figure it out in live time. If you want, I can actually help you troubleshoot that if you want. Like, if you can call me and we can practice it or whatever, I'll be happy to help out.
We've practiced it. I practiced it with my sister.
You got it then. You don't need me.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to have more help. But, you know, I think this, I've seen a friend who teaches in the Archdiocese, and I have a friend who teaches at a private school, and they're phoning their lessons in. They're checking in every day, and they're teaching on the computer. I have friends who, some of my daughter's friends, they've had their lessons already because, you know, the private high schools, they come with a computer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to note that Jefferson Parish, we have some real equity issues when it comes to availability of technology and resources. So it's harder for us to say this is how we're going to distance learn.
When you don't know if people have access to technology,
we don't
know
if people are receiving the message.
Yeah, and you can't even go to like a library now, which is where people would normally go for that kind of support.
Absolutely.
But libraries
or any of those places that usually offer those free Wi-Fi services.
Well, libraries usually have computers that people who don't have computers at home would use,
but if you do have a computer and you need Wi-Fi, you know, there's plenty of places where you can pick something up, you know, catch the signal or do whatever you need to do, but yeah, they're all closed.
Mm-hmm.
So that it makes it difficult. And we have transportation issues if that's what they're relying on anyway.
Yeah,
so
no buses.
I think this whole distance learning thing it's going to open people's eyes up a lot about what can actually be done at home, what needs to be done in person.
And what people need to do those things at a distance. And
how
and,
many people mm-hmm. we need to do at a distance, how many people we need to do them in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen some of the funny Facebook posts like teachers need to be in the 1%. You know, of course, I would vote for that because that's, you know, that's my job.
You're voting your interest,
you know, I think we're definitely worth that. But, you know, and So parents are having a hard time, I think, first of all, facing the whole work from home thing, because right. now their time is their own, and you can make your schedule, or maybe you can't make your schedule because your boss says, no, you still need to be answering emails from 8 to 5 every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you also have 2 kids in the background
Correct.
Who need lunch and dinner and breakfast, and they need a
Life
direction
is different.
With their school. Huh?
Life is different.
Life is very different. And it also is a bigger challenge depending on how young your children are.
Yeah.
Mine are older, so I can say, okay, work on this for an hour.
Yeah.
And I can get some real work done in an hour.
Yeah.
Whereas, if I had toddlers, that story would be very different, and I would be praying for nap time. Because that would probably be the best time for me to get anything done.
Exactly.
But...
Like, don't I get a parent as a mom? Don't get a para?
Right, exactly. Who else can I, help have to do this? But then we also have parents who are in the medical field, and they're still going to work.
They have to go to work.
They have to go to work. Or we have family members who work in grocery stores.
Uh-huh.
They're still going to work.
Uh-huh.
Social workers. Lots of people, the mail carriers are still going to work. So those people, they're still going to work, and now they have no childcare. So,
right.
It's really a tough time
mm-hmm.
To really kind of readjust your mindset to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have my blog.
Talk about the blog. Talk about the blog.
Can I
really quickly just do station ID, and then we can talk about the blog? You are listening to WHIV-LP New Orleans. This show is called Good Morning Comrade. You can listen every Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the morning, WHIV 102.3 FM or WHIVFM.org/listen. More information at goodmorningcomrade.com. So Mommy Says is the blog that you are the curator of, I suppose, the author of. So can you just talk a little bit about that? What are some of the... things that you've that you mostly talk about, and what are you posting on it now, and all that kind of stuff. So go ahead with that.
Okay, so the purpose of it is to really just share the good things that I found as working mother.
Uh-huh.
And it may not be something that works for me, or it might be something that works for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Last week when we were starting to think that, things are being canceled, some of my mommy friends and I were sitting around, and they're like, I don't even know what to do with my kids all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And they were concerned because they have middle school age children or upper elementary school age children, and they weren't stay-at-home moms, or they were stay-at-home moms, and now they've forgotten what that was like, or their kids are bigger now, and their needs are different.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I have some tips that I can share as a teacher and
as a mom,
as an experienced mom. I've been down this track, and my kids are close in age. They're 16 months apart.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had some challenges along the way. So would that be useful for you? And I got a resounding yes. So I started, yes, we need help. So I started gathering up all the things that I had, and then when Friday came and it was, you're not coming back to school, I said, okay, it's really time to ramp this up. My friends need help,
uh-huh.
and this is the service I can provide. So I started with, scheduling and how to schedule this homeschool thing, and here's some resources like Khan Academy. Shout out to Sal Khan from Grace King 19. He's a Grace King graduate, and he started this whole Khan University, Khan Academy
right.
website. It's amazing, and he's done a great thing, and now all of his hometown people are saying, thank you so much. So we have, I started sharing all these things, and then and I want everyone to understand that all you can do is the best you can,
mm-hmm.
and you need to get that routine in place. Whatever your routine looks like,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, you need to get that in place. Otherwise, you're not going to get any work done.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to work from home, you have to get that routine in place so your kids can occupy themselves or you can figure out how to occupy them and carve out some time to work.
Mm-hmm. Great.
One of the ideas is,
go ahead.
If you've got little kids, go watch Paw Patrol. Go watch one episode, sit there, and don't get up until it's over. And when it's over, then you can come tell me, and we will have a snack.
Right. And don't text the whole time. Watch it with your kids.
20 or 30 minutes. What's that?
And don't play on your phone the whole time. Actually watch it with your kids. Like, do something with your kid.
Or do that, or sit back and monitor them.
Yeah.
So you can say, they're sitting and occupied. I can do work while they do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If this is what we're at, use the TV as a babysitter.
It's there.
We're always told don't do that, but now it's a time to use it as a babysitter.
Right.
That
kind of line went too far the other way, right? I mean, the TV right. is in place, and there are things that can be used for. Not to say that it's the only thing, but like it's something that can be used as a tool. And there are things that, especially younger kids, can be sort of doing on there that can learn from. Like, Sesame Street, for example, that is one of the windows into. I'm talking about for myself when I was a kid. You know, like
right.
that's where a lot of learning how to count comes from. You know, learning your alphabet.
Educational programming has come a very long way. There's so many worthwhile shows out there. So, you know, get your routine in place. Tell them to watch whatever show you decide is what you want them to watch. Make them sit there, and they can't get up.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, if you establish that routine, then you have some work time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they finish the show, then do an activity with them, and then do something else that they can do independently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, play with this puzzle for the next 20 minutes and set the timer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go do something for 20 minutes while they work on the puzzle, and then you come back in 20 minutes and play with them for a little while. And you just keep hitting that cycle so you can get a little bit of work done and you can interact with them a little bit. But until you get that routine in place, it's going to be a hard, hard thing to get anything done. And I know why people are struggling.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's not easy at all. Yeah.
And that's what teachers do, too. And, mm-hmm. the first week of school, mm-hmm. we don't plan on teaching anything. There's no rocket science happening the first week of school.
Right.
It's all about getting those routines in place. We've got to get 26 or more students together with just us to toe the line, to do the routines that we have set in place so that learning can actually happen that next week.
Exactly.
So I think if you take a couple or 3 days to really vision board, whatever you need to do, make a list of what do you want your day to look like? What are the things that you have to get done? What do your kids have to get done? And then put the pieces together.
It's almost like a puzzle itself.
So, right, it's a puzzle itself.
And you also have to be able to improvise when things don't go as planned. I'm not a fan of Mike Tyson the person, but he had a really hilarious quote from a long time ago, which was that everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Right.
And when
it's true.
When these sorts of things, when you have an idea and your vision board and all of that stuff, that is all worth doing. It doesn't mm-hmm. all, you can't exactly plan how it's going to happen. And this is true for teaching, and I'm almost 100% sure it is for parenting. And it's always been true for me in terms of any kind of planning for events or even like a show like this, you know, you can plan out whatever you want to the T, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but there has to be some kind of basic set of things that you have to be able to improvise for when things don't go as planned.
Absolutely. I always try and write my schedule in pencil. And then, or I say, this is a work in progress. We're going to go through it today, and we're going to try it. And if something doesn't work, then we can edit tomorrow, but we're not scrapping the whole thing.
Because
there certainly are some things that work, and there may be one or two things that don't.
Mm-hmm. Unless things go catastrophically wrong, you have to kind of stick with it and have those signposts.
Right, exactly. And it's an adjustment. Everybody's adjusting.
Uh-huh.
This is not normal today. It might be normal in 3 weeks, but it's not normal today.
Right.
We're all still learning how to do this. And I do have some mommy friends who are stay-home mommies, and they are homeschool mommies, and they're like, yeah, welcome to the world. This is normal for them.
Right.
Their only difference is they can't go to the grocery store with all their kids in tow, Oof. Or they can, but, you know, that's not what's recommended.
Right, exactly.
You know, they can't do those play dates and all those things like they usually do. But they can definitely, they've got this homeschool thing down. So I've been looking to a lot of the mommy bloggers, the homeschool mom bloggers, and friends who have been doing this for a while. And you know, I'm looking to them for guidance because this is all new to me too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You mentioned like sort of like the social component again, and I really is there any kind of like digital or phone or any kind of means by which, and I mentioned earlier the karaoke thing is just halfway a joke and halfway an actual idea to do socialization, you know, through other means, you know, like it's only like meet space, like proximal social distancing, you could still have interactions through these sort of tools that we have. Have you experienced or have you thought about that at all?
Well, what the kids are doing is they're...
They can figure it out themselves, can't they?
Yeah, they're using House Party.
What's House Party?
Okay, so you remember the beginning of the Brady Bunch where you see all 9 squares at the beginning of the show?
Mm-hmm.
It's that. It's an app on your phone, and multiple people can have a conversation at one time.
So it's like Zoom.
And when you look at it, it looks very similar to Zoom. And it's all the little squares of each face of who's participating, and they can have like a little group chat, video group chat. So Zoom is another one, and the good old telephone. Mm-hmm. You know, pick up the phone and call. I think that's something that people are missing right now is just the sound of others' voices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us to keep in touch, not just texting.
Right.
We need that voice interaction.
It's very cold.
You know,
like text is I understand like why text is so, you know, very easy to do quickly, but it is a very sort of like, even with emojis or whatever, or, you know, GIFs and pictures and all that other stuff, it's still a much colder form of communication than like talking
to
someone and hearing their voice, which is also a bit more removed than being in the same room and talking with somebody as well. But it's sort of like different degrees here.
Correct. Yeah. But that voice interaction is super important.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you need to abandon texting because,
that's never
going to
happen.
No, but you can definitely, if you haven't talked to somebody in a week, pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
You know, and try and make a phone call a day.
Mm-hmm.
Just pick one person, call them today, and pick a different person, call them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Zoom conference or whatever. But, and especially, you know, our elderly people and our senior citizens and stuff. And
call your mama. Everybody call your mama.
Yes, are really getting us isolated, you know, because they're the most vulnerable population right now.
Right.
The kids are going to figure it out. They're going to be okay. But we need to make sure that that everybody's going to be all right. And that we're communicating in a way that's personal.
Yeah,
even though we can't
totally.
Be next to each other. Our culture here is so, so dependent upon social and in-person social interactions that it's hard for us here. It's so hard. You know, we don't have those frozen winters where we have to stay in the house for days at a time. You know, it's even when we have hurricanes, everybody congregates in somebody else's house.
Yeah, you can't even do that. And this does feel like a hurricane
in a lot
of ways.
No, you can't do that. It feels like a hurricane. I mean, I know friends who are like, I need to go get plywood. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Oh, I need to go put gas in the car. No, you don't.
Yeah, you can't run from this one.
I need to go get some canned goods. Nope, power's not going out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's different.
Don't need to keep your phone plugged in. Power's not going out.
It's like a hurricane, but it's so fundamental. Like the mood... The energy is very I've made this mistake sort of like before on the show, just saying, oh, the storm, and with the storm happening, but it's not really a storm.
Nope.
It's a virus. This is something that I've never had to experience before in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And so with all these people being home, you know, it's also important to make sure that everybody has a little corner they can get to.
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about making sure that we're interacting with people we can't see. The people we're around all the time, everybody needs a little space.
Yeah, you need to get a break every now and then.
You need a break from the people that you're seeing all the time. So it's important, so important, get outside. Go for a run, go for a bike ride, a walk.
Mm-hmm. Walk your dog. Just don't go by anybody.
Walk the dog. You know, just do something. Go work in the garden. Just sit in the chair in the sunshine and be outside and take some time by yourself. You know, talk to somebody else and, you know, sit in your office on the patio.
Yeah. Yeah. Fresh air is nice.
Do all the things.
At least for right now. Now,
if you can.
There are, I do want to, and I haven't seen guidance on this yet, and I don't want to, like, create a situation where people might panic. But it's something to potentially be prepared for. But definitely do that stuff like right now while we can. But there was some reporting that I've seen that said that this potential that this coronavirus might go airborne. And if that becomes the case,
about sitting in your yard.
If it goes airborne, I guess it could get into places that it would not. You know, that you might have to go inside and shut the windows. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm saying that's a potential possibility in the future and that we should be prepared for that. But we don't need to do that now. But do it while you can.
Right. And sunshine is good for us. It
open
helps
your windows.
With depression. It helps with all of our moods. And gardening lowers your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep yourself as healthy as you can. Getting some exercise every day. Elevating your heart rate past your resting heart rate is essential for good health. And I know everybody has their coronavirus snacks, and you need to walk those off a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Stress. I know for sure I'm stress eating, and I know I'm for sure stress drinking. So like, I went, don't
dig into the snacky snacks.
I went the other day, probably about I think it was last Thursday. And I went to go to the store to buy a few things, and the mood that was kind of there was like everybody's just kind of grabbing stuff. And so, like, I couldn't help, you know, I had sort of the herd mentality of panic shopping. And next thing I know, I had a full basket with all kinds of stuff for weeks, you know, I had no intention of like buying, like I bought a roast. And I bought a whole chicken, and I bought, like, a bunch of, like, canned beans.
And you're the only one who's going to eat it.
I know. Well, Kimberly will eat the roast, but she won't eat the whole chicken. But it's just, like, one of those situations where, the mood of the situation and the atmosphere that was in the store got the better of me. And I just started, like, stocking up.
Well, so
I became a prepper for about an hour.
Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, I'm going to be home and I'm going to have all this time to cook. So let me get all the food that I want to cook right now. Not thinking that, well, you can go back to the store.
Right. Well, yeah. But then I guess you hear these stories, though, of the stores being like, there's nothing on the shelves. And I'm sort of like, well, and this is since then. But I haven't really made my way out. But I'm sort of like thinking, and I haven't been to any stores around here. It might not be as bad as I'm sort of like imagining it. But I haven't left the house since Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we went to the store yesterday, and I rode my bike to the grocery store. It's about a mile away, and they had just about everything. They even had toilet paper. Shocking.
Nice.
But they hadn't even bothered to put it on the shelf. It just came in these big
this
cartons.
On a pallet.
And they opened the cartons and just left them on the floor. Yep. Yep. They're like, why are we going to bother to stock the shelf?
Yeah.
But, you know, one of my favorite stores, HEB, out of Texas, they're a grocery store chain. If you follow their Facebook page, they're really, it's led by wonderful people. And they're kind of leading the charge, if you ask me, about how to handle good customer relations and people with these, you know, stockpiler mentalities and
you only need like two things of toilet paper. You don't need all of that toilet paper.
So if you look at it, they said, you know, listen, take what you need and save some for your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know, they were some of the first people to say, we're going to start closing early.
Mm-hmm.
Not ridiculously early. We're not, you know, shuttering our doors, but we need to close a couple hours earlier and we're going to open an hour later so we can stock our shelves mm-hmm. and clean our store and keep everybody healthy.
Right.
And then Zapardo's here locally. I think they were one of the first to institute senior citizen hours. So the older folks or the more sensitive folks to the virus could get to the store and not be around
yeah.
the general population.
That sounds like that would be like first thing in the morning.
Have their own hours. What's that?
That sounds like that would be something like first thing in the morning, right?
It is first thing in the morning. It's early, mm-hmm. yes. So if you have elderly that sleep late, then that's not for them.
So you touched on something I really want to get into, but I'm going to touch on that after Station ID. You're listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. Good morning, comrade. Pally Thompson on the line. She is the author of the blog Mommy Says. She's also a fellow teacher in Jefferson Parish. But you mentioned something that I really appreciated a second ago when you said, you know, get some toilet paper and share it with your neighbors. And one of the things that I really do get concerned about is that with this, you know, crisis, this coronavirus situation where everybody's, you know, locked into their home, that there's going to be sort of like a loss of sense of connection with fellow people. And let's be honest here, you know, we need one another, especially now more than ever before. Mm-hmm. And I really do think, and I've said this before, you know, since this emergency, that we need to make sure that we're taking care of one another in the best way possible. And that's one of those things. And you know, you posting resources on your blog is another way of doing that, you know, helping parents and other folks out. Have you sort of seen or experienced any other ways that people could, I know that there's a bunch of like mutual aid groups that popped up on Facebook when this emergency happened, which is a really great indicator, of that sense existing. And that kind of mentality, I guess, needs to win out over the individualism one.
It's funny that you mentioned that because we hadn't even talked about that, but my daughter right now is baking brownies and, cookies and, maybe something else. I don't even want to know what my kitchen looks like right now, but she is making these things. A friend of ours has a good friend of hers who works at the VA hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one of the first cases, I believe, in the city was there. And this is my running group. I have a running group. And she texted us and said, hey, I'm going to start bringing treats over there because the doctors and nurses and staff over there are just, they're just done. They're worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just getting hit from all sides. I'm going to start bringing some treats over there and let me know if y'all want to participate. So
mm-hmm.
I told my daughter she loves to bake. And I said, you know, why don't you make something? We can bring it over there. We'll drop it off at my friend's house and she can make sure it gets where it needs to get to.
What a great
kid.
So
we're doing that. Yeah. And then I talked to another one of her classmates' mom works at the university hospital. And, you know, I said, would y'all like some too? And she said, oh, that'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow afternoon, we're going to make some more mm-hmm. things and bring those to her classmate's mom. And she's going to bring them over to University Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're being very well received,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you know, people are thinking about them and that, that this is something that we can do,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if it's bringing a brownie to a doctor or a nurse or, you know, hospital staff, you know,
for sure.
Just keeping people's spirits up that this
yeah.
is something that, you know, you're being thought of.
Right. And you're being supported. And again, you know, that's one way to sort of contribute. And also, you know, people who don't have, you know, or who might be losing, you know, money or in a really tough situation because of this, you know, people that are affected by this coronavirus. I almost said storm again. But like finding ways to, and this isn't
right.
all of it. This is not everything. You know, but it's definitely
no.
something. It's because we need to have a restructuring of the way that we operate. But
in general, on the news that Gail Benson is starting a fund.
Zion Williamson.
He suggested that he had some horrible suggestions. But Zion Williams, he's contributing money to the game day staff, the games that they've lost at home. And there's so many other, you know, Jameson, they contributed $500,000, I want to say, to a bartender's fund because St. Patrick's Day was basically canceled. And Jameson's already the bartender's brand. And they're going to be even more the bartender's brand now. Because they're, you know, they're helping all the bartenders who lost out so much money yesterday. And, you know, the other things we can do is support your local businesses. Tom Fitzmaurice's New Orleans venue website is back up again. And for those of us who are old enough to remember Katrina, he would publish a running list of things that were open. And he's doing that again with who can provide you takeout, who can provide you delivery services, what they're offering. Galatoire's has a family menu dinner for like $76. It feeds four people. You can't eat a Galatoire's for $76 for two people on a regular day. So that's a nice bargain.
Yeah, that's. I mean, but also make sure that like with the restaurants. I mean, we're down to takeout for the most part, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, but there are resources. That's yeah. I'm not trying to like say that what your example gave us probably just it's different here. You know. So we're coming up to time. I guess we can kind of give you a last word in terms of like your summary kind of thoughts of this situation. How are you feeling? How are you holding up? And you know, what are some of the things that you sort of see coming on the other side of this potentially?
I'm feeling pretty good about my situation personally at my address in my house. I kind of feel like I've been training for this my whole life. Give me the opportunity to be the best teacher and housewife I can be.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know everyone doesn't feel that way, and that is okay. But everybody who's trying to do that at home, who's trying to just do the best they can, just do the best you can. And if it's not what you think it should be, lower your standards.
Mm-hmm.
Your house doesn't have to be clean every day. The things you have to do every day is you got to get up. You got to get out of bed. You got to feed yourself and the other people around you. And you got to go to bed and, you know, rinse, repeat. So just do the best you can. And every day try to do a little bit more and do a little bit better. And, you know, slow progress is still progress.
Yeah, we're all surviving here. Be kind to, I really hate that this quote, this is a great quote, but it comes from freaking Jerry Springer. But he says, be kind to yourself.
He's not a dumb guy, believe it or not. No, he's a two-lane grad.
I know, but he said, I say this not, but definitely, I don't say this because of Jerry Springer or whatever, but especially with the connotation to the show or whatever, but like, be kind to yourself and be kind to one another in this situation.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just kind of sort of like forgive yourself, because if you don't feel up to doing whatever, and like even if you don't call somebody every day, you know, all the things that we said, you know, maybe you need a day where you're just going to sit and play, you know, video games or something, or,
right.
you know,
today's
read a book.
Kill it.
Yeah.
Do
yeah. Just as long as that doesn't become the thing that
that's
you
not
do all
every day.
Yeah. You can't do it all the time, because that can lead to sort of spiraling of depression and isolation, and that's what we don't want. We want to make sure that people do know that they're connected.
It's okay to check out every once in a while, but
yeah.
not all the time.
We're surviving together. It's sort of the critical sort of takeaway I want to hit. But anyway, sort of last word from you. Where can we find your blog? Where can we get more information about some of the other stuff that you are up to?
Currently, I'm only on Facebook right now. It's mm-hmm. Facebook, and Mommy Says, MommySays, is the Facebook page. As things go along, there may be more, but right now that's all we have. There's links aplenty and tips and positive quotes and probably some recipes in there too somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all right there on Facebook.
Cool. Facebook.com/Mommy Says, I
suppose. Mommy Says.
Okay. And anything else you want to mention before we go?
Just take care of yourself. Wash your hands.
Definitely wash your hands. You know, and in addition to what you were saying about taking care of yourself, like in a very like real sense, you like part of what and I've seen people who do work from home, and a lot of people have to work from home now. Mm-hmm. They will, you know, get dressed as if they were going to work in an office.
Yep.
And they would like sort of.
We don't subscribe to that at home, but we do need to get dressed.
Yeah.
I don't require shoes.
Yeah. No, it could be.
Our school does not require shoes, but we do have to brush our teeth, put on deodorant,
take a shower every day,
and put on actual clothes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or so.
Yes.
I know
hygiene.
Teens are smelly, but you know, take you know, shower every other day at least.
No, we need to shower every day in my house.
Good. Good. Okay. Cool. I was giving the teens some leeway. But you hold a hard
no.
line.
That bar is pretty high for me as
Good.
Far as showering. Hygiene, it's an everyday thing.
Hygiene is important.
Yes. And look, other people may have a lower bar, and that's fine. You know, whatever works at your house, let it work.
All right, cool. Well, okay, cool. Well, you can listen to Good Morning Comrade every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesdays on WHIVFM.org/listen or on 102.3 WHIVFM in the New Orleans area. You can also check us out on our website, goodmorningcomrade.com. And more information for everything is available at WHIVFM.org. So Pally, thank you. You can come on back on the show anytime you want. Just let me just say the word. And
thanks for having me. It was fun. It was a fun conversation.
Always, yeah.